Radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut. Here at Trinity United Methodist Church, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in the community. We also invite you to join us on Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube by going to Seymour Trinity United Methodist Church on YouTube and download what you would care to watch. On March 5th at 7 p.m., we will have our Ash Wednesday service. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.devtumcseymour.org. Today's message is titled "At the Corner of Church and Main" by Pastor Angel Armstrong, and our scripture is our scripture is from Luke 6:17 through 26, and the title, the heading in my Bible says, "Blessings and Woes." Is that not what life is made of? Both blessings and woes. But like the song just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what is going on, whether He gives and takes away, whether we are living in blessings or whether we are living in woes, we will be faithful to Him who is faithful to us. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of His disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch Him, because power was coming from Him and healing them all. Let me read that verse again. And the people all tried to touch Him because power was coming from Him and healing them all. Don't we all want part of that healing power? Looking at His disciples, He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man." Here's another one of those that's hard to do. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." We've got an update. Chad's doing okay. We'll keep him in prayer and we'll let him just sit and breathe for a bit. Thank you, Dee. So glad to have you in our congregation so many times. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." You know that song, "Blessed be your name." It teaches us a lot about having faith in our Lord. I will never forget, as long as I live, my son died, and I started back into the youth group 2 weeks after he died. Every place we went that year, every concert, every revival, every youth gathering, no matter what it was, that song played. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I looked up at the end of the year. That song was playing. I was worshiping. Tears were streaming down my face. And I was singing, "You give and take away. But still I choose to say, I choose to say, blessed be your name." And I looked up and the entire youth group had surrounded me. I never said a word to one of them, but they noticed how much that song impacted me. Years later, they told me when they watched that faith, and it had nothing to do with me, beloved, it had to do with our God. When they watched that, it gave them courage and faith to go on. Today's message is about intersections of faith. It is about bringing heaven to earth. And about how we live our faith out. Has anybody here ever had a great intersection of faith? Something tragic happened in their life, but yet everything in them is praising God for being with them. Come on, let me see it, folks. That's right. That's right. Each and every one of us, and by the way, I won't make him come down here, but if I've ever seen somebody live out being a peacemaker, it would be Mark Smallwood. Each and every one of us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is what we are called to do, is to be peacemakers. To have faith at that intersection where life happens. You know, there are people who say, God won't give us more than we can handle. I hate that theology. I'm sorry, I hope I'm not stepping on somebody's toes. God doesn't give it to us. Life gives it to us. Our own choices give it to us. Other people's choices perpetrated against us gives it to us. God helps us handle it. He walks with us through it. Once there was a great, great intersection in the ancient city of Bethlehem. We know a little something, just a little something about intersections. Don't get me started on roundabouts. But we know just a little something about intersections because intersections are busy. And whenever we travel and we come to these intersections, they're always busy. There are lots of traffic, which means lots of people, which means lots of fast food places, lots of restaurants, lots of motels, lots of great clutter going on. There are intersections all over. Some of the most famous cities have particular intersections, which has gained them worldwide fame. The corner of Hollywood and Vine in Hollywood, Piccadilly Circus in London, Times Square in New York City. These intersections have gained renown beyond their towns. We all have other kinds of busy, important intersections, ones that are not just a juncture in the road. Train tracks, commuter traffic made Grand Central Station synonymous with hubbub and massive activity anywhere. Anybody ever been to New York? It's crazy there. Have you been on the subways? Woo! Little scary. Those subways cross here, there, and everywhere. There's all kinds of stairs. What about San Francisco? Anybody been to San Francisco? San Francisco has a subway called BART, and that intersects at many places. They are dark and under the city, because the city is already crowded. And they bring these intersecting trains to come down and rush people everywhere. We make connections everywhere. I think one of the hardest connections for us to keep up with is those when we fly. Going to Canada, I've been directed here, there, and everywhere, and trying to make a connection in a short amount of time. I heard a preacher once say that whether you go to heaven or hell, you'll probably have to make connections through some place like Atlanta. I think that was kind of hell in and of itself, is that you have to make a connection somewhere. Then there's another intersection of this world, because it brings information and people together. And it's supposed to be good, but sometimes it's not always so good. The World Wide Web is an intersection. It is an intersection of people, of knowledge, of bringing everybody together. The Bible talks about a day like that where we will all be connected. I think right after that it starts talking about a mark that'll be on our forehead. In the ancient world, it too had its great intersections, trade routes that made for favorable harbors and convenient terrain, turned ancient towns into important intersections, and with that, into great great big cities. Well, there was once a great intersection in the ancient city of Bethlehem. Unlike some of the others, however, it was not a junction between two major highways. You see, Bethlehem was kind of off of the beaten path, with two or three great avenues in that town. Besides that, it was pretty unknown. No, this was not merely a corner of thoroughfare fairs. This was the intersection between heaven and earth, because our Lord came down wrapped in flesh. Christ incarnate is the greatest intersection that any of us will ever find in our lives. He is the intersection between heaven and earth. He is the intersection between heaven and hell. He should be the intersection between you and I. And we should strive to live and treat one another as he taught us to treat one another. Likewise, by all rights, the intersection that took place in Bethlehem is an utterly, utterly unreasonable one. That the immortal God should put on mortal flesh, or that the throne of grace, should be exchanged for a dirty feeding trough, or that celestial glory should be replaced by the odors of a stinky stable. The Almighty confined himself to such frailty. These are all too foolish for us to even suggest. What took place in Bethlehem that night was an astonishing intersection of heaven and earth. And as it turns out, the Christmas story, as beautiful and amazing as it was, is only the beginning. For what begins in the Christmas story continues through the gospel accounts, throughout Jesus' life and ministry and teachings. Luke reports that crowds from as far as Tyre and Sidon came to hear and see Jesus. It is the incarnate Son of God, however, who made the longer trip to meet us. Might have taken him an instant to come from heaven to earth, but to have walked away from the Father and the Spirit, to have walked away from His natural authority, to come down and be a helpless babe, knowing full well that He would be rejected, that He would die on a sinner's cross to save those He so loved. And you know, that cross, those nails, did not hold Him there. His love for us held Him there. That was the greatest intersection between heaven and earth, was Christ, fully human, fully divine, choosing to stand in for us and take all of our sins upon Him. We are a needy lot. And when the divine reaches down and touches and heals our bodies from heaven, when the divine reaches down and works in a situation in our family, when the Spirit is present in our service, we crave more of that. I don't know about you, but I would do anything for a touch of the divine. I don't care how far I'd have to crawl to touch the hem of His garment. Sadly, this world believes that all that has come to pass, and it has not, beloved. He still heals. He still teaches. He still works powerfully in our lives. We just need to look around. Heaven and earth intersect in Jesus the Christ. At another level, we see angels and shepherds and a star and the Magi. The crowds around Jesus, heaven and earth, by contact with one another. Excuse me. Through heaven's initiative, we have before us Luke's version of the teachings that we call the Beatitudes. And if you take nothing else from these teachings that I am about to go over, some of the greatest teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, take this with you, which will be hung in our church. Blessed be the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Luke's version of these teachings, the Beatitudes, is so named because of Jesus' reoccurring use of the word blessed. The underlining Greek word, makarios, can mean blessed, fortunate, and happy. The Amplified Bible also includes to be envied. And is that not part of our being a blessing? Is that not part of our having Jesus Christ in our lives? We were told that we would be persecuted for our faith. The world watches how we will interact with the intersection between heaven and earth. The world watches how we go through difficult times. The world watches how we treat one another in the midst of strife. We may disagree on many, many things, but yet we are called to love and set an example. If your experience has been anything like mine, then perhaps you know this deep faith. My experience was much different from yours. I didn't come to know the beloved Lord until I was 33. And then I hungered for His word and I devoured it. I could not stop reading it. Your experience has probably been one where you saw the Beatitudes posted in Sunday school class all the time, where you prayed at the table, where you had God present. If it wasn't, however you came from Him, you are blessed. You are to be envied. You should be happy. Blessed are those who walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor. Fortunate are the hungry. To be envied are those who weep. That makes little or no sense to us at times. But then again, I don't know about y'all, but have you ever had a situation where those things do make sense? Where nothing around you makes sense? Where you are hurting, but you still feel blessed. Blessed to know our Lord, whether He gives and takes away. Whether we are hungry, whether we are poor, whether we are persecuted, whether we mourn, or whether we dance. Happy are you when you're hated, excluded, reviled, and defamed? Because that is what happens to Christians. They want to find any little reason to be talking. But what they really want in the depth of their hearts is, why can't I have what they have? So the more we hold to that intersection of faith, the more we hold to bringing heaven here on earth, the more we hold claim to Jesus Christ and hold on to Him tightly, the more we show the rest of the world who we really are and what they can have. We Christians say that this and all of Jesus' teaching is the greatest part of our Bible. Sure, we love the epistles. Sure, we love different parts of the Old Testament. Who can resist the Psalms, where David is raw and real and we identify with him? But it's Christ's teachings that make a difference in our life. But the truth is, for most of us, is that we here in this country, are rich and are full. That's right, Evie. We are. We are rich and we are full. Thank you, baby girl. You gave me a minute. We don't usually think of ourselves as rich, for we see the income and the lifestyles of the others in our culture. Professional athletes, entertainers, corporate CEOs, among others, who have so very much more than we do. We compare ourselves to the income and the lifestyles of the world's population. However, then we are forced to confess that we are indeed, in fact, rich. We are certainly full. Our tummies are full, at least. Our closets are full. Our drawers are full. Our basements, our garage, our shed, everything is full in comparison to those in third world countries. If they are lucky, they have a pillowcase with a few items they can claim as their own. But the real richness, the real fullness comes in through Christ Jesus, through His teachings, through the way He has blessed each one of us individually, and the way that He has connected us all as the church. The Greek word, oi, something like that, can't talk today, is what we translate woe, or sometimes alas. As you might guess from trying to pronounce the unusual word that has all vowels in it, it's not a harsh kind of exclamation. It's more like, oh my, woe is me. But alas, when Jesus says woe to those who are rich, who are full, who laugh and such, therefore He is not shouting out a condemnation. Rather, I would say, He is crying out His sorrow. How sad for you, how terribly sad, that this is what you choose to cherish. That you choose to cherish the new car, the new house, the precious job. That is so sad in my heart, because I would much rather that you choose to cherish the things of heaven and not the things of this earth. Our human instinct is to live for now. Even the laters, college, marriage, vacation, retirement, and so on. The most prudent of us might save and prepare for now or the soon to be laters. But in spiritual terms, do we put forth first what is so important to us? What should be so important to us? The riches of the teachings of our Lord. Here, then, is the final intersection of heaven and earth. It is not far off of the shepherds and the magi. It is not a one-time event of the incarnation. Rather, it is an intersection that you and I experience daily. Indeed, it is the intersection that is our very address, for we live at the juncture of this world and the kingdom of God. We are told to wear this world like a loose garment. Obviously, we live in it, and we can't be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. But we are called to throw off this world and to walk in the light of Christ, to walk in the Beatitudes, to walk in the teachings of Jesus Christ, to put those things first. So it is that the Lord grieves and cries out, woe, for those who are doomed and are heading in the wrong way. Did anybody ever see the Poseidon Adventure? That's an old movie. I'm dating myself there. There is a huge ship. Have you ever looked at those ships? How huge they are? You could fit four or five of these churches in that ship. The ship capsized, meaning it was upside down in the water. A small band of people lived and tried to get themselves out of the ship. One of them reasoned that since the ship is upside down, that they must seek the bottom of the ship in order to get out. The rest of them argued about it. But what seems upside down and topsy-turvy to most of the world, to us as Christians, we must follow Christ Jesus. We must die to self. We must tear off all of the treasures of the world, pick up that heavy cross, and march forward in His name, in His love, and in His power. This is our address, yours and mine. This is the great intersection at which we live. It is the natural place, isn't it? For the servants of God who can become incarnate, who can spend the rest of eternity in heaven. It is those who lead to kingdom's top, to have wisdom and foresight, to live in the glorious later rather than in the now. This is our address, yours and mine. For what does not seem to be natural to others is natural to us. Our closing song is Blessings by Laura Story. It is a song that reflects her faith and the challenges she faced, particularly the challenges she faced during her husband's serious illness. The song emphasizes how experiences of fear and loneliness helped her to view God's blessing from a new perspective. It conveys the message that even in difficult times, there can be a much deeper understanding of blessings in life. that when we go through pain and struggle, we come closer to Christ. I remember hearing a story about a woman who was dying of cancer. Somebody told her that all her pain was Christ kissing her. And instead of asking for the pain to be removed, she said, "Kiss me again, Jesus." Laura writes, "There is a blessedness that comes through waiting on the Lord. When we are able to stand back and trust our God in the midst of sorrow, grief, anxiety, happy, chaos, dramatic change, good or bad, these, beloved, are the massive intersections of faith."